Hello and welcome to Sumo My Nichi. My name is Dave. I'm here with Amy and we are here to bring you all the action from day 8 Nakabi of Harubasho 2024 taking place in Osaka, Japan. Happy Nakabi to you.
Happy Nakabi to you. Happy Nakabi to everyone listening out there who enjoys a bit of day 8 sumo. And who wouldn't?
Well, Nakabi is a time for family. It's a time for togetherness.
Joy.
Joy.
Loving each other.
Community.
Sumo.
Sumo. Mostly sumo.
I have to say it's mostly day 8 sumo.
Yes. It's only day 8 sumo, if we're real about it. The weather in Osaka today, it was 11 degrees Celsius, 52 degrees Fahrenheit as the action wrapped up today. 90% humidity.
Looked pretty dreary in some of the footage they were showing, but it not was in the Osaka Prefectural Gymnasium.
No, but outside it was rainy.
Very, very rainy.
Very rainy. And if you haven't been to Japan before, the rain falls in a certain way. It's like maximum rain.
Yeah, because in Melbourne, it will rain for a bit and you're pretty sure that it's going to stop. Like you always look at the radar and apart from a few exceptions, it'll stop in half an hour. You'll be like, oh, I think 20 minutes or something like that. But in Japan, it seems to just rain.
It just buckets down. And it was doing that today in Osaka. As a bit of sumo mainichi lore, there was a time when we were in Osaka, I think 2015, and it was so rainy that I had to go and buy new shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Because my feet were so wet.
We were in Ueno, yeah?
I think we were,
Those markets along the railway line there.
My feet were wet all the way up to my knees. And I thought, let's just start again with footwear.
Yeah. Yep. Let's get these new shoes just as wet.
Let's say a thank you to a few people who generously donated to the Sumo Mainichi Sake Fund, friend of the podcast.
Podcast.
That's where we go waist deep in a bit of water and have frogs around us and talk sumo.
That's when you're in Osaka in March.
I've got wet on the brain. Thank you, Mai, for your generous donation. Mai says, cheers from your podcast fan in Melbourne.
Legend. Melbourne legend.
Halfway through the basho, that's a statement of fact. Thank you, Mai. I got here with mixed feelings. My favorite ricochets are Ura and Kirishima. Ooh. I'm happy with how Ura is traveling, but Kirishima, ... squinty face emoji.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we all identify with the squinty face emoji when it's coming to Kirishima's performance.
Yeah, I think
it's just like,
in one emoji, Mai has wrapped up what everyone is feeling. Also, big thank you to Dark Ocean Music. Thank you so much. Dark Ocean Music says, thanks for the podcast. It's the best sumo podcast around. Well, I wouldn't say that. Like me, my colleague Karina listens to it religiously. So if you want to make her day, give her a little shout out. Thanks. You're the best.
Karina! I'm shouting.
Literally shouting out Karina.
Legend.
Legend.
Thanks for listening, guys.
And also a big thanks to Kenneth.
Yeah, Kenneth, we've heard from you a number of times, mostly about Takeyasu and his problematic drive towards various Yusho. You love him, and so do we, so I think we're united in that fact.
Yes.
But this time you've got a podcast pitch. It's called Melon Mainichi, and we review melons. Well, you're in luck.
And he's hashtagged this message on paper, which I haven't seen before, but the hashtag he's trying to get trending is hashtag justice for cantaloupe.
There are so many people who love cantaloupe. I'm really surprised. Another message we got was from Brian, who we've known has listened to the podcast for a long time. And he said that the way to enjoy cantaloupe is with a little scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
Everybody's got cantaloupe thoughts. Hashtag justice for cantaloupe.
I just do want to go back because Kenneth signed off his message with Takeyasu Yusho.
Yes.
Powerful.
Still.
All right. So I went to the Preston Market this morning.
Mm-hmm. The Preston Market is fantastic, actually.
It is.
Nice market near us.
Beautiful, beautiful market. I took on board what people have said is the best way to find a cantaloupe. And can I say, it was hugely embarrassing.
Yeah. So you gave it a knock?
So I did pick it up and I gave it a knock. Can you give it the knock test into the mic?
I will.
I have a cantaloupe.
I do have to admit that I was in bed during all of this because we recorded everything so late last night. Yeah. I just indulged in a little sleep. And you went to the market and you did this.
Don't knock it near the pole.
Okay.
Knock it in the...
Oh, the middle.
The equator.
Okay.
Yeah, that's much more hollow sounding. Yep. All right. So I did that. I held that up to my ear. I knocked it. It sounded sufficiently hollow.
Yep.
So the first test was passed. The second test was to push my thumb up against one of the Antarcticas.
Yep.
One of the North or South Poles.
One of the Antarcticas, as in the Antarctica or the Arctic?
Yeah, you know what I mean. One of the icy places. I gave it a push. Now, I wasn't sure whether I should smell the pole or smell my thumb.
Well, I'm going to smell both. First, I'm going to smell my thumb.
You're pushing it so hard. Don't push your thumb in there.
Smells like cantaloupe.
Yeah, you know what? And I got a very, very good and strong cantaloupe smell.
It is a strong smell, and yeah. I'm not off-put straight away by the smell. No. Like, a cantaloupe smell is fairly nice.
All right, so this cantaloupe was $8 Australian,
ooh,
which I thought was a little bit pricey given that we'll have one slice each. But why don't you cut it open now?
Or why don't I? I was hoping that you might.
Oh, I'll cut it open now, yep.
Cut it. I'm just going to talk while you're cutting.
Okay.
Because we need to provide some video evidence
of this. Some
proof
that this is really happening.
Here we go.
Okay. I don't reckon I've ever bought a cantaloupe before.
You don't think?
All right, let's have a look. Ooh,
oh, that's nice.
A nice orange boy.
I'm just going to show you. Can't see this. But it's actually proportions are perfect.
Yeah.
This is a perfect cantaloupe. It's got a lot of seeds. It smells...
Smells good.
Smells like a cantaloupe. I mean, I feel like I know exactly what a cantaloupe is. This is proving to me that I do, in fact,
know. So
there
you go. You can have... Well, I mean, the
what
the
a cantaloupe smells and tastes like.
The question was never, do we know what cantaloupe tastes like?
Well, I felt like I needed to reevaluate it because maybe I was totally wrong.
I'm going to give this a little bite.
Okay. Oh, I'll talk while you're biting it. He's biting it. He's enjoying it. How are you feeling? Getting a
tissue?
It's delicious. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have some. I don't have any vanilla ice cream to have it with, unfortunately, or prosciutto. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
This is quite sweet, actually, this one.
This is a good cantaloupe, and thank you to the people who helped me pick this out. I want to say something. I want to go back and say I think I was thinking of rock melon.
Yeah.
Cantaloupe's not so bad. Rock melon is the real offender in terms of filling out a fruit salad.
The green one.
The green one. The one that tastes like nothing. Cantaloupe's actually quite nice. I mean, I don't know who in their right mind would buy a whole one.
Yeah. There's so much of it here.
Yeah.
That's $7.90 of cantaloupe.
Well, $8. Yeah, oh, you mean that's left.
I've had two bites now.
Yep. So, cantaloupe review. I'm a big fan now. I think I'm going to eat the rest of this.
Cantaloupe reset?
Yeah. Well, I said cantaloupe reset yesterday, and I'm going to stand by
it. I'm bored with it.
I think it's a good melon. With our new podcast, Melon My Ninchi, we do need, I mean, I've got enough content for three episodes. We've got watermelon, rock melon, but we might need to crowdsource other ideas in terms of other episodes. What other melons are there?
Watermelon.
I said watermelon.
Did you? I wasn't listening.
Okay.
Watermelon's the top one, I think.
Yeah. Well, you want to save that for your 100th episode.
Well, our food podcast is sure to be hitting the charts soon. Yeah. Melon My Ninchi, look out for it. But I think we're back on board with cantaloupe.
We are. Full cantaloupe reset. We love it. We're sorry to the people we offended with our incorrect views on what is quite a good melon.
Do you know all I want to eat now, actually, is vanilla ice cream?
Yeah, we've got some in the freezer.
Do we?
Let's knock this pot off. Let's go eat some of that.
All right.
Let's jump into the action. Ryuden Takeru Fuji, talk to me about it.
Yes, Takeru Fuji. We wondered how he'd go when he started to fight up. Today was not the day. He was just against Ryuden. I say
whoa,
just.
Whoa.
To start backpedaling. Don't worry. Ryuden, he's going okay. And the one thing Takeru Fuji knew not to do is let Ryuden on his belt. He got on the belt instead, and his power was too strong. Ryuden was fighting for a good position, but Takeru Fuji was able to move in close. He was there every step of the way, and he beat Ryuden.
Yeah, I mean, beating a ex-Sanyaku in Ryuden, I have no notes for Takeru Fuji. His sumo looks perfect.
Yeah.
It looks unstoppable at the moment.
It really did. This was a little bit more of a challenge compared to some of the others where he's just stepped forward and pushed them straight out, but not heaps more. I mean, Ryuden was fairly active. He was doing his style of sumo. So I guess it was, you know, a legit opponent.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think Ryuden quite locked in at any point, but that's just because Takeru Fuji was so good. So for Takeru Fuji, day eight, Kachikoshi, 8-0. Congratulations, Takeru Fuji.
And he got his interview, and it felt like he'd been in sumo forever. But in fact, it's possibly the first time in history that a Shinyumaku, a new entry to Makuuchi, is a sole leader on day eight.
Such a specific statistic.
I know. I like it, though. No way of checking, of course.
No, I mean, it's just have to trust. Ryuden 4-4 with that loss. Shonan Umi was up against Kidnawaka today. Kidnawaka did find a hand on the Shonan Umi belt out of the tachi-ai, but Shonan Umi just shrugged it off, closed in quickly to dispatch Kidnawaka. So for Shonan Umi now, he moves to 6-2.
Yeah, looking really, really good. He's another one where, this time around at least, he's starting to look like he's been here forever. We know he's had a few struggles so far in Makuuchi. He went 4-11 last time.
And the two before, he went 7-8, 7-8.
Yeah.
So this is about reestablishing himself. And 6-2, that's a dream start for Shonan Umi. Bad news for Kidnawaka fans. He's 1-7 with that loss.
Wondered how his second shot at Makuuchi would be. He's on the road to Kachikoshi. And the first time we say that, we have to explain it. It's that we love being positive in sumo. When somebody gets up to seven losses, we hope that they might eventually make their way to eight wins. So we call it on the road to Kachikoshi.
Some people look at a score of 1-7 and go, well, one more loss and they get Kachikoshi. Mm. We say, well, it's only seven more wins and you get Kachikoshi.
Beautiful.
I might have said the wrong words there, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
You get the spirit of it.
We do, and that's what Sumo Manichi is all about. Kidnawaka, he's 1-7. Nishiki Fuji and Mitakumi came up against each other. They both came into this at 5-2. Both of them, I was surprised with that score.
Oh,
I just love suddenly realizing
radar.
That two guys are going really well. I thought this might be a really good bout, but Mitakumi was way too strong. Nishiki Fuji just kind of retreated, and Mitakumi moved to 6-2. He's looking fairly good.
Good, isn't he?
Sprightly.
I'll tell you what, Mitakumi knows what to do in the second week, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, Mitakumi, Yusho?
Well, he knows what it feels like.
Ooh, could be.
He could be cruising along here.
Yeah, Nishiki Fuji is 5-3.
I just want to quickly stop in on this Sadanumi and Hokuto Fuji bout. Sadanumi.
Yeah.
His form has been spectacular, and he continued that today against Hokuto Fuji. Got a big left hand on Hokuto Fuji's belt and has dragged him all the way across the dojo to the Tawara and dumped him down. He looks fast, he looks good, and most importantly, he looks young.
He looks young. He's 36 years old, but
he's... I think he's 37.
Activated.
Is he 37 or 36?
He's both. He's in between.
He's 36.
Oh, okay. That's me.
I owe you a drink.
Thank you. Awesome. But 36 and 37, I mean, I could barely remember both of them.
It's a world of difference. Because when you when you turn 36, you go, I'm mid-30s. And when you turn 37, you go, oh, shit.
Yeah, you get a sinking feeling.
I'm starting to feel late 30s.
Late 30s.
Imagine being late 30s.
Okay, well.
What a beautiful feeling that must be.
Definitely not moving towards late 40s. Uh-oh. Oh, I just had that sinking feeling.
Come on. We're the youngest people in sumo podcasting. Let's face it. We're the Sadanumis of sumo podcasting?
Well, he is moving so well.
Yeah.
He's had some really great bouts. And today was probably the best, just definitive in the way that he uwatanaged Hokuto Fuji today.
Good verb.
Thank you. Hokuto Fuji is 1-7. Mm. He is on the road to Kachikoshi. He is not having success and he is looking despondent.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it right now.
No, I'm moving on to Takeyasu and Gonoyama. Takeyasu, as Kenneth mentioned, is going quite well. He's kind of still in the Yusho race at this point. And so this match against Gonoyama was important today. Gonoyama pulled. He was right on the edge when he did so. So Takeyasu went down. His hand hit outside the Tawara. But Gonoyama also was rocking his foot back on the Tawara at the same time. So it was given to Gonoyama. But the replay showed that as Takeyasu's hand went down, Gonoyama's heel was, it was so close. You could not see daylight.
Yeah. So a monoi was called, obviously. I've never seen the boys get up so quickly. They didn't even need to be called up.
Yep.
And the replay showed this was incredibly close. As you said, Gonoyama rocking his heel over the Tawara. To me, I had my face pushed up against the TV with my piece of cardboard with a pinhole in it. So I could I wanted to look at it pixel by pixel.
Yeah.
It really looked to me as though Gonoyama might have not touched his heel out, but he certainly rested his heel on some dust.
We both saw this one differently. And there are those moments in sumo where you end up speaking for a long time about the tiniest moment.
Mm.
And I thought that puff that you saw was the sand, the dirt that was coming across from Takeyasu's hand going down. So it was like a wave of sand in June when the worms coming and the sand moves up and touches Gonoyama's heel, but it's not that Gonoyama's heel has gone down.
Well, here's
onto
the thing.
The sand.
No, I think the replay stopped too early every time. So it was when Gonoyama lifted his heel up, dust came up. And it was after Takeyasu had hit the ground. So there's no way like the suction, like the negative air pressure created from a heel coming up could suck dirt up
touched. It was the dirt that had been pushed across.
It was so far after that.
Yeah.
It was so far off.
But the dirt had been pushed across. It had come to rest and then his foot pulled it up.
The fact we're talking about this for so long. Torinoshi.
Torinoshi, exactly.
This was too close to call.
Yeah.
And when the result came in or the result of the monoi came in, I was shocked. They upheld the decision. They gave it to Gonoyama. This is a joke.
Yeah, it wasn't right, this.
Well, you can't say that on this day, in 17th of March 2024, Gonoyama was better than Takeyasu.
Yeah.
It was too close to call. I don't like this.
No.
Just do it again.
I think so. That's what a Torinoshi is for.
Yep.
And then monoi was really long.
It was a long
So
monoi.
We were talking about it for all that time. They were talking about it for all that time. Just redo it.
It's simple.
Makes all of the sense. They didn't, however. And both these Rikishi, Takeyasu and Gonoyama, ended up on 5-3. So that takes Takeyasu. He's not one off the leaderboard. The leaderboard is way out there. But he's one off moving up into that big pack of people on
it's
six
fine.
Wins.
The Yusho winner will have 12 wins. So I therefore say that Takeyasu is still in it mathematically.
All right, excellent.
All right, let's have a look at this Tamawashi and Ono Sato bout. The past of sumo up against the future of sumo. Tamawashi came out with one clear strategy here, and that was to hit Ono Sato hard in the throat,
and
on
actually,
the face.
As the Tachiai went, you said he's just going to go for the face, and he did straight away.
Well, sometimes when you see Takeyasu, I won't say struggling, but when he's not in the best form.
Tamawashi.
His style goes a bit more brutal. And
yes.
Like less refined, more aggressive.
Yep.
And his mindset coming into this, Ono Sato is hot, he's young, he can just maybe bully him out of this one. And yep. It was clear that that was the strategy early. Tamashii was pummeling Onosato under the chin to the point where I felt bad for the kid.
I know. He would have a few bruises, I think,
certainly,
after tonight.
His larynx would be absolutely crushed. But Onosato, he's strong. He withstood all of this and just managed to move forward, swamping Tamawashi and taking him over the bales.
Yeah, he just didn't move backwards the amount that most people move backwards. I mean, he is tall. He did bend over a little bit.
The head went back.
The head went back, but he wasn't arched over. He kept his feet moving forward too, was the other important thing. He just kept, rather than standing there and be like, oh, I'm being pushed, what's happening? He just recovered, stepped forward, recovered, stepped forward, and was always too close to Tamawashi for the thrust to really take effect.
Yeah, and, you know, we are in this basho talking a lot about Onosato and Takeru Fuji. And today Onosato came up against a quality, experienced opponent that Takeru Fuji hasn't really had to face yet.
Yep.
And so interesting to see Onosato absolutely rise to that challenge. With that win now, Onosato is 7-1, Tamawashi 2-6. Now, you told me when I was writing notes for this bout to write down the words right knee.
Yes, yes, thank you. Because at the at the end of this bout, Tamawashi winced. And it looked to me like his right knee had been twisted around with that final movement across the Tuara. And he limped a couple of steps back to his position. And the real standout was getting off the doyo. He was stepping down with his left, which meant that his right had to bend and had to bear the weight. And he had one go at it and he had to come back up and then go again. So I think that something there tweaked in his right knee. Something to look out for, maybe. Okay.
Well, we're into Sanyaku for Nakabe.
We sure are.
Let's
and
do
the
it.
First bout was Abi and Ura. It was a weird touchy eye here. Ura can do a number of things, and today he just watched and waited.
Well, I thought it was interesting on both sides. I mean, Ura was doing what he normally does. Abi gave himself a second just to see what was coming out first, then he piled on the pressure.
Yep, and his thrusts worked today. They pushed Ura to the edge and then over. They sent him into the second row of the sumo supporters in the brown jackets in Osaka, the Tozai Kai. And Ura was suddenly amongst them and they were happy, but all of the Ura fans weren't.
Well, yeah, Ura went 3 or 4 rows deep, I think. Abi was good today.
Yeah. Yeah, the timing was
very, very good.
Was very good.
Handled Ura so well. Abi now moves to 6-2, Ura 3-5. Whoops, wrong tab. Next bout in Sanyaku, we had Asanoyama up against Nishikigi. Asanoyama came out straight away, found a strong left-hand belt grip on Nishikigi. Look, today he did make himself hard to move. He put up a bit of a fight, but Asanoyama here had the momentum and he drove Nishikigi out. In the end, a straightforward win for Asanoyama.
Yeah, it was. It looked much more like his sumo of old, which is just controlling the space, getting down on his haunches and moving his opponent back. It takes Nishikigi to 1-7. I don't like to see him there with or at Komisubi. But with Hokuto Fuji as well. Kitanowaka, sure, but he and Hokuto Fuji, I don't like them being on the road to Kachikoshi together. Hopefully they can give each other some support.
Nishikigi, I've got to say, it feels more like 2-6.
Yeah.
1-7 sure. does not feel fair. And we look, the first time that Nishikigi was at Komisubi was September last year. He went 5-10. I think that should be his goal now.
Oh, yeah, get to 5.
Get to 5.
I think so.
He's now 7 straight losses.
Yeah.
After that magical opening winning on day one.
Yeah.
Against, it was Terunofuji.
Yeah, oh, it sure was.
Oh, geez.
Asanoyama, he is 4-4 and would have appreciated, I'm sure, that a fairly easy win today. We had Daisho up next against Atami Fuji. And I thought Atami Fuji did all right here against the thrusts of Daisho, which have now pretty much regained their power and timing. as Atami Fuji circled around, which he loves to do. He often gets taken to the edge and then he tries to go somewhere from there. And he was able to circle around. He tried to pull down, but he ended up off balance, and it was Daisho who then went for the pull down instead.
Yeah, I didn't mind Atami Fuji's approach today. You could see he went out there with a mindset of, I need to contain this. I need to try to wrap myself around Daisho to stop these attacks. But you couldn't contain what Daisho was throwing out today. So, yeah, Daisho, a good win. And a win I would say he would cherish on day eight, this Nakabe. 4-4 he is now with that win. Atami Fuji's on the same score. So in many ways we have achieved sumo balance.
Equilibrium.
For two good Rikishi. Oh yeah, I thought Atami Fuji's effort was good here.
Yeah, it was okay. But it does seem like Daisho is starting to get it back.
Well, you know, he is building, right? Like, it feels like as this basho goes on, he's getting better and better. He dropped the first 3 days, but from there is now four wins and one loss. Mm. So you're starting to build for Daisho. Technically, he's probably out of the Yusho race, but after the start he had, 8 wins will be a sweet relief, I would say. All right, let's move on to Ozeki Takakesho against Oho Takakesho. He came out old school.
This looked like a bout from a couple of years ago, right?
This has got 2020 all over it. Takakesho put on the headband, threw down the cardboard, put some old school hip hop on the beatbox, and just did that hip hop move or breakdance move where they spin around on their back like a turtle. Because this was vintage Takakesho. That 2020 rhythm, the pushing.
Yeah.
Just, it's slow, it's deliberate. Every push has intention. Every push worked. You could see Oho, he knew what was happening.
Yeah, he did. And it was almost like he locked into the rhythm as well. That's when it works the best for Takakesho, when the opponent goes, oh, I can see what he's doing. I'm going to try and block that push every time. So they settle into that push rhythm.
Well,
but Takakesho is way stronger.
When the rhythm, it comes out like this, it's undeniable.
Yeah.
You just have to dance to this music.
But the best thing to do to combat it is to move to the side or to get out of the way. But you can't because you're drawn in. Exactly.
It's the forbidden dance.
Exactly. And was trapped.
He certainly was. And yeah, in the end, a very effective win for Takakesho.
Were you about to ask me about what's a forbidden dance?
Yeah. What was the movie that had the forbidden dance?
Dirty Dancing?
No, that wasn't forbidden. There was another movie. It was more of your South American style dancing.
Strictly Ballroom?
Don't know if that's it.
I'm just going through dancing movies now.
Hang on. You keep talking. I'm writing into Google forbidden dance movie.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say during this time is more movies that I know with dance in it.
Lambada.
Oh, is it that?
That is the forbidden dance. Also, there is a movie from 1990 called The Forbidden Dance. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking of the movie Lambada.
You've never seen that movie.
No, I've never seen that. I would not see a movie based around dancing apart from Electric Boogaloo 2.
What?
No, Breakdance 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, it's true that you haven't seen Dirty Dancing.
No.
And have you not seen Strictly Ballroom?
No.
Really?
No.
That's got an Australian classic.
It's got the two things that I hate about life, ballroom dancing and strictness. That's the worst.
What about being dirty and dancing?
I'm down for dirty, but again, the dancing lets down that part of the equation.
Fair enough.
Where were we up to?
We're up to the scores, which were Takakesho 6-2. He's keeping himself in it. He doesn't even need to keep himself in it. All he needs to do is get Kachikoshi.
Who was doubting this guy?
Oh, not me.
We were not.
Nah. We'd never doubt Takakesho, especially not when he's Katavan.
I almost think that we need to remove that word from the same sentence as his name. Get that word out of there.
Yeah, well, tell NHK that. They love to call him Katabun Ozeki Takakesho.
Sick of it.
They are into that Oh, he looked disappointed after this one. He's found himself some success and he wants to keep tasting it. It wasn't to be today, and he is 3-5. The next bout, Takanosho and Hoshoryu. I was looking forward to this one. I wondered whether Takanosho, with coming hot off some success, could take it to Hoshoryu. And he actually did take Hoshoryu to the edge quickly. And here I was fooled into saying, oh no, maybe Hoshoryu is in trouble. But he wasn't. It was almost like he let himself be taken back.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, obviously now we switch positions. He switched Takanosho around to the bales. Although they briefly locked up after this, Hoshoryu had established himself in control. He had a right hand inside grip and didn't let Takanosho find what he wanted, dumped him out.
All you need to do, get your face close to the TV and just focus on Hoshoryu's face during this bout. At no point did he look bothered.
That's so true.
Like, even when he was being taken back at the start, you know, the crowd lifted when Takanosho drove him back, but he was just in control the whole time.
Yeah.
He was setting himself up. He's thinking 3 or 4 moves ahead.
Yeah, 3 or 4 days ahead.
Oh, God. Yeah, you might be right about that. Maybe he's thinking 3 or 4 basho ahead.
Oh, wow.
Could that be possible?
Oh, probably with him.
Yeah, with
him.
He's
a sumo genius.
Sumo genius.
After all, and he took himself to 6-2. He helped himself to 6-2. He didn't really ever look in doubt in this match. Takanosho, he is 3-5.
All right, the second last bout of the day, we had Ozeki Kirishima up against Tobizaru. Tobizaru actually has a better record in their matchups. I believe coming into this one, it was 11-9.
Yeah.
Today, Tobizaru came out of the touchy eye. He was on the offensive. He had that belief. And then this one turned into an old-fashioned slap fest.
Yeah, Kirishima didn't mind participating either.
Well, I think they had a good time out there.
Tobizaru, of course, going for it.
Yeah.
But Kirishima participated.
And then, strangely, though, it was Tobizaru who thought, we've had enough of this. I'm going to get on the belt. They locked up here. And at this point, you and I looked at each other and we said, this is not a good position for Tobizaru. This feels like a Kirishima style lockup.
Yeah. Yep. But we were a bit wrong.
We were a bit wrong.
I'll admit it.
Tobizaru was keeping himself at a weird angle here. Really couldn't, didn't give Kirishima anything to work on. And strangely enough, it was Tobizaru who initiated. With not a lot, he did everything, and he pushed Kirishima back and over the Tawara.
Yeah, I guess we should never really doubt Tobizaru. Whatever situation he gets himself into, there is always, I would say, probably a 60-40 chance that he can get himself out of it, and the belt's included in that now.
Just, exactly.
70-30?
Yeah.
80-20?
I want to say it's the belief he has in his own sumo, but I don't think it's even that conscious. Mm. He's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing that will always stick in my mind is Tobizaru's bout against Hakuhō, probably 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
Where he matched up against Hakuhō and at the touch, I just stood there.
Just didn't know what
scared.
To do.
Look at this guy now, 3 or 4 years later, takes on the best and takes it to them. I love Tobizaru.
Yep, he was great. I mean, admittedly, Kirishima is really, really struggling, and this was apparent again today with him just not coming up with the solution that he needed to. He was way more active today.
Mm.
That was a better sign, but still he's 2-6 as an Ozeki, so moving towards that Katavan.
I still think he's going to get 8 wins.
You do?
Yeah, I really do. Until I see him get that 8th loss, I still think he's a chance.
You've got the
That's
belief.
Crazy to say, but I think he will.
Tobizaru is 5-3. And we move on to the final bout of the day. It's Wakamoto Haru up against Kodonowaka. I'm keen to tell you their head-to-head. It was 5-7, so quite to Wakamoto Haru, 5, yeah. Kodonowaka 7. So fairly even here. But this bout was really, I would say, anything but even. It was heavily, heavily dominated by Kodonowaka. I thought that Wakamoto Haru started to stabilize after a few seconds. I wanted him to get off the Tawara. He did. He circled around. But Konawaka was just right back in his grill.
Konawaka owned the Doyo in terms of space. Wakamoto Haru tried to find a way back into this bout, but Konawaka, it was like he owned the middle of the Doyo, and all Wakamoto Haru could do was to circle around the outside. I thought this was dominant from Konawaka today.
Yep, it was. It really was. And maybe a little bit of a surprise to me to be so dominant against someone like Wakamoto Haru. It takes him to 6-2. So the pack on 6-2 largely stayed, largely all won and stayed together. Wakamoto Haru is 5-3. So out in front in the Yusho race, it's Takeru Fuji. He's on 8 wins. He got his kachikoshi today with that win over Ryuden. 7 wins.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Let's do this now, because Takeru Fuji tomorrow starts to fight up, and tomorrow he has Komisubi Abi.
Yeah. So he goes from Ryuden to, I mean, Ryuden
well,
has been.
Hey, Ryuden's
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. I feel like I keep dissing him. he is not Komisubi at the moment. Abi is. So he's jumped all the way up there to the Sanyaku.
Next on the list on 7 wins.
Ono Sato. He recovered today after that loss yesterday. And then on 6 we have...
Well, can I say, Ono Sato takes on Wakamoto Haru tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we are seeing these two... Ono Sato's Maegashira 5, so it's a very different prospect. But again, Ono Sato goes up against Sanyaku. Takeru Fuji gets his chance. I think this week is going to be fascinating seeing these two go at it.
Yeah, I like waiting until day 8. It feels nice and rounded off.
Yep.
We've had a first week of let's see what's happening, and now we're like, let's get down to it.
Totally. Take us through those 6 win friends.
Hoshoryu, Takakesho, Kodnowaka, Abi, Mitakeumi, Sadanumi, and Shonanumi.
Okay. All right, well, let's have a look at the bouts for tomorrow. I've previewed a couple there. In terms of the rest of Sanyaku, we have Daisho taking on Kodnowaka. Should be an interesting bout. Takakesho has to take on Tobizaru.
Oh,
now, again, it's 5-6 there head-to-head, Tobizaru's way. Now, this is an interesting piece of programming. Midori Fuji at Maegashira 5 comes up against Hoshoryu.
Yeah, right. But he's like
He's 3-5.
3-5.
This is weird, right?
A little bit.
It feels strange. Their head-to-head is 6-6, but Midori Fuji just looks like a little bit out of form at the moment.
It feels like they did the Torikumi for tomorrow and then there was one piece of paper or a couple of pieces of paper, but one got stuck under the couch or something. And they're like, Hoshoryu, what? It's only Midori Fuji left.
Exactly. And the final bout of day 9 will be Kirishima and Nishikigi.
Wow. Hmm. Wow.
Huh. All right. Thanks so much for joining us on Sumo Mainichi today. We're going to go and finish off this cantaloupe,
There's so much here.
We'll get some vanilla ice cream,
It smells
salt,
like cantaloupe.
Some prosciutto. I know the studio smells a lot like cantaloupe, and I don't mind it.
I think it's a good one. I think you picked a good one. Well done.
Oh, thanks everyone for helping me. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah!